Before we get started with the sermon, I did not announce some of the birthdays. We have lots of birthdays this month, which I was excited to see. And someone's birthday that is today is actually Rich Morris, which I don't believe he's here with us today. He is? Where is he? Oh, there he is. We got him. Okay. And then as well, Alan, and then Neve, our daughter, her birthday is this month as well, and C. Young Kim. So let's just sing happy birthday. We can do it to everyone. I know Rich is here too, but we could just an overall. Who would like to lead us out in happy birthday?
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. I shut my thing off on mute each time that the singing starts. Unless there's like a whole bunch and I can kind of drown myself out with everyone. I wanted to give you guys a little bit of an announcement with us. I know I'm like announcement. With us, with our trip when we went away, retreat. It was a blessing that we were able to go. We were encouraged to just be with others that are in the Baptist Association. It's new to us with the Baptist. We were in a Baptist years ago, but to be involved with those who are in leadership in different positions, with it specifically within Alberta. So it was a joy to be with them. And it was fun. It was good. It was good to be there. One part that was probably the best part of the whole trip, Rachel woke up in the morning and she's like, something's wrong. There's a random kid in our room. And I'm like, this voice doesn't sound right. Because I'm like, what? What do you mean a random kid? Like, what? How is, like... So then I started thinking about it. I'm like, was this child here all night? Why had no one contacted or tried to like wake everyone up in the building to be like a kid was missing? We didn't have our child all night long. Anyways, my mind was starting to wander all over the place. And he had climbed up in the top bunk with Neve, and he was asking why his sister was in his bed, his spot. And anyways, Rachel got up, she flicked the light on. He's like, oh no, when he realizes this is not his room. So he almost flew off the top bunk. We were like, Rachel's like, slow down, because she didn't want him to fall. He pretty much jumped past the ladder. I think he got the first step, and then anyways, he got down, and he's like, I'm so sorry. And there was nothing to be sorry about. It was an accident. So he went on his way. A few minutes later, we hear a knock at the door. His mom had come because she was feeling pretty bad about this, that this had happened to us. It was, I don't know, 7 o'clock or something, I think. And she comes back. Oh, Rachel opens the door, and she's like, I am so sorry. I got to come apologize to you guys. And Rachel's like, it's totally fine. I was still laying in the bed. Anyways, so the door, when you come in, is directly to our bed where we were. So I'm laying there, and I kind of thought, as Rachel invites her in, so I'm like, okay, I'll just pull my covers up here a little bit. And so family is really, you know, we are a part of a family. And I mean, that was taking it to the extreme, but it was a good time. What's that? Yeah, and we actually ended, which it was the Lord, we ended with communion with them, which was pretty neat. We had communion, everyone had communion together, but when they did communion, instead of everyone coming up to the front or it being passed out, it was just set in different areas, and then you were to go and pray with someone, grab the communion together, the juice, wine, bread, and go and pray with that person, a couple, and then they would do the same for you. And they were in the back. I just turned around and saw them because I was sitting there and it was taking some time. Everyone was kind of waiting for the next person to go. The usual, everyone gets all awkward. Do I go? Do I not go? And I looked back and that family was there and I was like, Rachel, let's go. Let's go with them. And so Neve had come along and we went and we prayed with them. And it was pretty neat to pray with them too on just what we prayed about. I'm not going to go into the specifics with that. But then we sat down with the husband later and the wife for a little bit, but with the husband and had a really good visit. And as we were praying, the things that were prayed, it was totally the Holy Spirit, because the things that he was saying that were on his heart were exactly what was prayed. And he had given us a little tidbit of what their desires were, but not fully. So it was just really neat to see how the Lord works spiritually in each and every one of our lives. So it was really a blessing to be able to do that with them and be there with them. So, yeah, that whole thing still makes me laugh. Rachel was laughing for hours. Yeah, anyways, when the wife had come back, she came to the door and she was knocking because she heard a lot of commotion. She could hear something inside. Well, it was Rachel. She was, like, laughing that this situation happened. We felt pretty bad for him, too, in general. And it was neat, too, afterwards, that our kids, they ended up... We good? Okay, we're okay. Okay, I'm touching it. Don't touch it. Afterwards, our kids ended up sitting with him and spending time with him.
How old was he?
Eight or ten? Eight? Yeah, he was pretty small. Is my mic getting scratchy? Are we okay? Okay. We've been having a little tech diff anyways with my beard. Too bad Brandon wasn't here today. He likes beards, big beards. So something else we learned while being there too was to be bold for the kingdom. Just reminded, I should say, reminded to be bold for the kingdom. The music was a blessing that we got to listen to and share in with. And we built lasting relationships with many. And we met someone who used to be here, which was encouraging and exciting. And he said good things about here. He did. He was happy to be here and happy to hear a little bit about you guys as well. And I said lots of good things too. Because we are blessed to be here. And we've been blessed by many of you and all of you. It is a blessing to be here. We are a family. And if you're new, you're being brought into the family. I was reminded, too, to preach. And not everyone will always enjoy what's being said. Because sometimes when the Lord is convicting us, the Holy Spirit is pricking at us, sometimes the things from Scripture can poke at us. And we may not always want to hear what's being said. But we need to hear it. Because all of the Word is good. Not just one part or this part or Old Testament, New Testament, this book. All of the books are good. So I was just reminded and encouraged in that way as well. So thank you that we were able to go, and thank you for Len taking up the pulpit as well to preach. Coming to our text, Philippians 4:1. If you have your Bibles, let's join together and read together. I'm going to go over the sermon that I had done before we left. So not last Sunday, but the Sunday before. And there's a couple things that I left out within that sermon. But I felt that the Lord wanted us to go through this again. And it is only one verse. And thank you, Pat, for saying that this morning. Before you read too. It is only one verse, and this one verse is full of lots of truth and loving words. So my beloved brothers and sisters, let's read together. So I'm going to read it again. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord. My beloved, 6 points I'd like to point out with this. First is beloved. Second, household of brothers and sisters. Third, words of encouragement in order to stand firm. Four, do not forget your joy as the beloved. Five, longed for. And six, investments. Sometimes, as people, we can get wrapped up in our lives and we forget others that surround us day by day. When we focus on others, we are less self-motivated and more conscious of our words and behaviors to others. When we focus on others, we are less self-motivated and more conscious of our words and behavior to others. And I left you with a story with David Platt the last time I spoke, and I never finished that story. I'm going to say it all again, though. David Platt, who was a pastor in the Southern Baptist, south of our border, he wrote a book called Something Needs to Change. Again, I read this book a few years back, and a few times I've read it, actually. He was going hiking through the Himalayas, and in order to hike in this terrain, he had to get himself into shape. He was told to wear a mask, breathe through a straw while working out. Can you imagine? I know I can only imagine what it would be like to wear a mask while working out, running, or to breathe through a straw. I think the straw would be the worst part. But he said he never listened to that advice with doing that. He worked out, he got in shape physically to get through the mountains, but he didn't do the mask or the straw. He was still able to bear through the times of the hike, but he knew that he could have benefited from that, because it's just losing, making your lungs work how they need to. At one point in his walk, when they were going to be gathering together with other brothers and sisters and believers, they had to hike up a mountain about 2 hours. And every 20 steps, he had to stop and breathe and catch his breath. But when he arrived to his destination, he was happy, he was joyous. And then the evening had come. And he was looking out. He was told to go look out down the mountain where he had come from. It's now dark. And he could see little lights coming up in the distance. And they would get closer and closer. These little lights were the believers that were coming up to join together with all of their other brothers and sisters. They would walk 2 hours up the mountain. They would walk another 2 hours down the mountain. And it wasn't just regular weather. It was cold. This is determination to gather as the beloved church. They did whatever was needed in order to be together. Do we desire to be with our brothers and sisters? And are we willing to gather together under whatever extreme it may be? I'm not using this story to scold anyone. I'm using this story to encourage us to gather together in whatever possible way we can. We have our Sundays, whatever that may be. Gather together in brothers and sisters in your houses. Whatever you can do, gather together. So be excited that we can come. We can build relationships, strong relationships. Get to know each other's middle names if you can, if they'll tell you. My one son, he would always say, when we go see people, can you guess my middle name? Well, they don't know him. They just met him, in the sense of just met him. And they're like, oh, well, I can try. So they'll try to guess it, and little hints come along the way. So let's gather together, and as often as we can, whenever we can, make it a priority, and as you already have. Beloved, stand firm. Let's start together. Paul yearns for his beloved. Paul lets the Philippian believers know right from the start in his thanksgiving prayer, right in this book of Philippians. He yearns for them. If you flip with me to Philippians 1:8, And I am reading from the ESV, just to let you know. Philippians 1:8. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. After we were gone for a few days, I was excited to gather again with our church family. And we did see three people through the week, Friday night for youth here. So I was excited. I was here through the week as well once we got back, halfway through the week. So I was excited to come back to see brothers and sisters, to see you, brothers and sisters. I didn't see every single person until today, but I was able to see many through the week. Beloved, do you ever stop and read? When you're reading, do you ever stop when you're reading the Word of God and think, oh my God, that was so good. I'm sure you have eaten food and think that it was amazing. I want another bite. I know with our hustle and bustle of life, we at times may eat food in such a rush. It is not that we still do not enjoy it. Sometimes that happens and it cannot all be altogether bad. Sometimes we read the Bible fast and God just wants us to understand a little overarching purpose of that text, not understanding every meaning that is going on there. Sometimes we just need to see a broad picture of the whole thing. Kind of like Isaiah. Sometimes you just need to read it really quick just to see the overarching purpose, because there's so much within the book of Isaiah. Has anyone ever felt deep compassion and empathy for another person who is working alongside you in ministry? Have any of you ever voiced such love and affection as Paul has toward the Philippians? Voicing affection for brothers and sisters who need affirmation, reminding them of how they can face situations and have the strength of the Lord through it by standing firm. We're all going to battle things in ministry and in life and trials that come before us, trials in ministry, trials in our homes, trials physically. If we cannot work together with one mind, and that is the mind of Christ, we must come to the one mind, one-mindedness, Christ-mindedness. But if we don't come to that mind, we cannot grow together. So when difficult trials come, we will focus on everything someone else is doing wrong. In other words, we can grow apart. A husband and wife must grow together. They must work together, listening to each other and hearing each other's concerns. I do not believe we need to elaborate on every frustration or concern we have in a marriage or in the church. Even though we may want to, and you may want to just say it, but sometimes you just need to hold back. But sometimes you do say it. You might have to apologize. Well, if you do something you shouldn't do, I mean, you should apologize. That's a fact. But if we are not watchful, these little frustrations toward one another will give an opportunity for the devil to deceive us with his lies. As we all know, he's a liar, and he's been a liar from the beginning, and he's going to be a liar forever. Let's turn to Ephesians 4:23. Flip to the left. I'm not making you turn very much. It was just simple little turns. Ephesians 4:23. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with your neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. Let's elaborate a little more with Paul. Paul's affirmation of love. Sometimes when difficulties come our way, it can be very difficult to stand fast. Maybe you even question your faith. Paul knows the Philippians are not exempt to difficulties or attacks that our enemy, Satan, can bring. And as well, There are trials that we go through that God causes. And Satan likes to deceive. This is why Paul says to stand firm in the Lord, along with Philippians 1:27, which says that you are standing firm in one spirit. And with 1 Corinthians 16:13, be watchful, stand firm in your faith. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Sometimes we can let prayer slide and be put off to the side. I've done it. I'll confess to it. I've done it. I've set it aside thinking I need to do this. But first, pray. We need to pray always. Philippians talks about that as well. And we know Paul is not naive when it comes to keeping with joy in trials and tribulation. So as Philippi grows in the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, that's from 1:11, they must stand firm in the Lord. Not standing firm in each other, standing firm in the Lord. We will face ups and downs. And they faced ups and downs as they walk, as they walked, as we walk this faith journey. But if the Philippians' minds were not set on living for others, if we're not set on living for others as we live in Christ, too easily problems can arise. What a world of difference that it'll make for our brothers and sisters when we walk out what we've been shown through Christ and the walk that He walked. Next, the household of brothers and sisters. We must not forget that we are the brethren of the household of God. We are. We are born again partakers in the grace of Christ. We matter. You matter. We are important. We are important in God's eyes. We are the beloved of God. Do you all remember the time Paul received his conversion in Acts 9? And he fell to the ground, losing his sight. Then being led to Damascus, staying 3 days, he is then visited by Ananias to receive his sight. Do you remember? Paul was called Brother Saul, as Ananias laid his hands upon him to regain sight, then to receive the Holy Spirit. That's from Acts 9:17. Take note that he was called brother in that, though. He was now a part of the family of God. We too are a part of the family of God. When our eyes are open and the Holy Spirit comes upon us and lives within us. Paul mentions Caesar's household as well in 4:22 because they had come to faith. The word of God was being preached. And Caesar's household had heard and confessed their sins. God's work was being done. Paul is not the only one that addresses believers as brothers and sisters, as the beloved. John does as well. And you'll see the beloved as you read through the Bible as well, that you read through the scriptures, brothers and sisters, you're going to see it over and over. But we who are in Christ have become brothers and sisters in Christ. And how wonderful it is that we can address the household of God as brothers and sisters. Words of encouragement in order to stand firm. Paul is not prompting or pushing them as a mule or a stubborn mule. He's not trying to make it go forward. He's leading by encouragement of what Christ has done for them. And he shows his own example of what Christ did for him. Philippians 4:4, if you guys are there, let's read that together. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, to rejoice. He tells them, you are doing good in the Lord. And it is no trouble on Paul's account to speak so highly of the Philippians. And he does often in this text. So they must stand firm. We must stand firm in our faith. It will drive away the schemes of Satan. Because he won't be able to take any holds on us. We won't want to believe his lie. And discord between other brothers and sisters. If you stand firm in your faith, you can. It is possible to live for others. Another place Paul highly esteems them is at the start of 3:1. If you just flip back there. Finally, brothers, Philippians 3:1, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Telling them of the good they're doing. They are Paul's beloved, which I love this in this piece as well, that he says in Philippians 4:1, my beloved. We are the beloved of God, but he says to the Philippians, my beloved. So remember to stand firm in what Christ has done for you, because you are the beloved. Problems can be worked out. We must not forget that. But when the flesh seeps in, we may think our differences are too big for us to come to an agreement. But with one mind, driven by the Spirit, that reassures us. And our faith proves that everything apart from Christ is loss. Philippians 3:7. This new mind can hold true to what we have attained. That's Philippians 3:16. So we must hold fast and stand firm to the upward call as brothers and sisters to what we have attained, what we have been given in Christ. Let's remind ourselves of Hebrews 11:26, where it speaks of Moses. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward, a heavenly reward. And then Philippians 3:21. Let's read that together. Who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. When that time comes, when he takes us home, he will transform our bodies. Because we all know these bodies are passing away. Again, Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Do not forget your joy as the beloved. Let us read together Philippians 2:12-13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God has started a work in each and every one of us. As brothers and sisters, we must work out our salvation so that we do not become conceited in our faith, losing humility, and becoming quarrelsome grumblers. We must think mature. We must press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:14. And again, we must strive. Let's read Philippians 2:15-16. That you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. We must grow into maturity. as we bear through our trials, as we go through our trials. Stand firm unto Christ and be true to the name you have been given, the Beloved. In Christ you are the Beloved. Something I find for myself of great benefit in being a part of the Beloved of God. And I want you as well to hold on to this truth, because it's the Scripture. God will keep you. And it says in Jude 24, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy." He will present you. Christ will present you. Will be presented before God with great joy. So remember, I don't know if you guys remember Dory the fish. Just keep swimming. We must just keep going. We're not a fish, so let's just clarify that and make sure we all know that. We are human, created in the image of God. We would all agree that it would be foolish if someone was running a race and just before passing off the baton, they leave. That's it. They're done. Cruising along. I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm walking away. It's foolishness. We would all agree that it would be. You must not stop mid-race and give up, even though the battles may be heavy. Who knows what God has planned as you endure through your trials? And I think about spouses, with unsaved spouses. Keep going. The Lord may save them. How do we know? Be faithful to God. Be faithful in your walk with God. You never know, but God does know. Longed for. Again, these are true words. These are not fake, puffy up words. I know sometimes I've been around people and they puff you up. And you know when they're puffing you up. Or maybe they're trying to get something from you. Paul is not trying to get anything from them. He's encouraging them. He's directing them because it's true what he's saying. He loves them. He longs for them. He wants to be with them. As Rachel and I were gone in our family, "I wanted to come back. I long to be back with you." Philippians 4:1 is an important verse. This is real heartfelt longing. Paul longs to be with them and is thankful to God in all his remembrance of them. Philippians 1:3, he had said, "I thank God in all my remembrance of you." It was them. He said he thanked God when he remembered them. This remembrance was past and future because of their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, Philippians 1:5. Paul speaks to them as if he is right there with them, beside them. And oh, what a joy it is to be physically with those we love, who have the same mind. Amen. You long to be close with them, not far from them. But as Paul, he was in that Roman prison, he was a distance from them as he wrote this letter. But again, remember the little lights that I talked about with David Platt. He looked out down the mountain, and those little lights were all coming up. The believers were coming to join with their brothers and sisters, so that they could encourage others. They walked their 2 hours up that mountain in the dark and cold, and another 2 hours down the mountain in the dark and cold. Paul longed to be close to the Philippians. Do we long to be close to our brothers and sisters? Something that had hit home for me, I was reading through Reverend Herbert Peeler's book on others, and I have been as I've gone through Philippians. I've read through it before in school. And something that he said in here was, "I simply do not understand the thinking of Christians who are members of a church and only put in an appearance on Sunday mornings if it's convenient. Never there on a Sunday evening or a midweek prayer meeting. I will always be thankful for my parents." This is him speaking here in this book, all this that I'm saying right now. "I will always be thankful for my parents who became Christians when I was 14 years of age, chose to be present for all the services in the church, And that was in the days when in the winter we went with horses 3 miles. One of the unmistakable, so they went horse, he was an older man. As he taught at the school, he's passed away now. One of the unmistakable evidences of the sad spiritual decline in the present day church is the number of people who are Sunday morning only attenders. Don't tell me, he's still saying this in the book, it's not me saying this, don't tell me or anyone else you don't have time. You know very well you do. The real reason is that you do not intend to. The emotion underlying Paul's longing for needs to be revived in you. Too many are represented by the young man who, courting his lady friend, expressed his great love for her with, "I love you. I would cross the ocean. I would climb the highest mountain. I would break through army lines. I would expend my last once ounce of strength for you." And then, upon saying a fond good night, concluded, "I will be coming tomorrow if it doesn't rain." It really got me thinking, though, when I was reading through this, of how we are God's beloved, and we are the family of God. I'm just going to leave those thoughts with what I read there with you guys. We must long, this is me talking now, we must long to be together as Paul longed for his Philippian family. I know we have a lot going on in our own lives and in our own congregation. We have a lot of things coming up. You've all seen within the bulletin, there's lots of things happening, and they are good. And I know that we cannot get to everything. You have jobs, you have different things going on in your lives. There are things that we have to do as people. That is a fact, separate from each other. We can't just hang out here all day. It's not going to work. We all know that. But it is true words what he's saying. Are we always giving a reason why we can't attend? But God knows our hearts. We do not know each other's hearts. But if you have the opportunity to be together with your brothers and sisters, take it. So may the Lord touch our hearts so that we can long as Paul longed to be together. So now the last, investments. What are you invested in? Are you invested in the world's goods or are you invested in people? We all know the stock market goes up and down. Housing market goes up and down. But I'm here to tell you today that there is a market produced that produces a reward that has great return record. When I say it never fluctuates or on its return, it holds true. The earthly reward of the markets will not last. So why not invest in something greater? Matthew 6:19, which explains that to us. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in to steal. Paul invested his whole life for others. He was willing to die. He was willing to give up what he had attained if it was to save his brothers, if it was possible. He was others-minded. Paul had run his race and the Philippians were his crown. He had labored good and hard and received a reward, the Philippians. Paul's investment received treasure in heaven. His investment receives treasure in heaven, and no one can steal that from him. These children of God were Paul's brothers and sisters, loved ones, longed for, his joy, his crown, and no one was going to take it away from him. So I say to all of you, from Philippians 4:1, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Give it over to the worship team.
Our last song is a very joyful song. Come, people of the risen King, would you like to stand with us as we sing it?
King, who delight to bring him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to him, where steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice, one heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come those who joy is morning sun, and the sweeping through the night. Come those who tell of battles won, and the struggling in the fight. For his perfect love will never change, and his mercies never cease. But follow us through all our needs, with the certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice, one heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come young and old from every land, men and women of the faith. Come those with full or empty hands, find the riches of his grace. Over all the world his people sing, sure to sure we hear them call. The truth that cries through every age, our God is all in all. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice, one heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice, one heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. Go in peace.